Now we are going to discuss the clinical features one by one in detail. As I told you earlier that the Netherton syndrome is a combination of congenital ichthyosiform erythroderma, neonatal failure to thrive, early development of atopy with very high levels of IgE and hypereosinophilia, hair shaft abnormalities. So the baby will be born with congenital ichthyosiform erythroderma, not exactly at birth, but after a few days. Typically later the ichthyosiform erythroderma becomes less severe in the phenotype, and it presents with a ichthyosis linearis circumflexa, which is an erythematous exfoliating annular or pericycric migrating plaques having a advancing double edge of a peeling scale. This ichthyosis linearis circumflexa is episodic and it migrates in a cephalochordal direction, and that is why it is known as a migrating polycyclic plaques or the migrating annular plaques. Then comes the hair abnormalities. As I told you that there will be a hair abnormality, mainly trichorhexis invaginata or sometimes the bilia torti. So this abnormality of the hair shaft will lead to sparse hair. The hair will be very brittle and they will be sometimes lost totally. So this defect will be most commonly visible in the hair of eyebrows and eyelashes, and the hair can be sparse or absent at birth. Then the next manifestation is atopy, by which we mean that the patient will be very exposed and very vulnerable to develop the atopic dysesthesia. Multiple allergies may be present, clinically presenting with the recurrent urticaria, angiofacial edema, which will be triggered by the exogenous antigens like the foods, including the nuts and fish. So this food allergy will be manifested in the childhood or even in infancy, and the pruritus is a constant feature in this atopic dysesthesia. Then comes the growth retardation. So we see that these children are born at full term and they have a normal or average birth and weight and height. But later on, they develop failure to thrive, which can be explained by the term dermopathic enteropathy, by which we mean there will be a loss of calories and loss of energy because of excessive desquamation of the skin, hyperproliferation of the skin. So in order to overcome this, nasogastric tube feeding may be required in severe cases because there will be failure to thrive and failure to gain the normal weight. When we appropriately feed these children, then they start to gain the weight after about 2 years of age or in the second year of life. But despite of this gaining weight, they are still falling below the 25th percentile for height and weight. One unrecognized clinical features is reduced growth hormone levels or growth hormone deficiency, and it shows a very good response to growth hormone therapy, and it is might be because of this reason that they have a growth retardation. So these were the clinical features of common Netherton syndrome. Now we are going to discuss about the complications. So because of the failure to thrive, lack of energy, and because of decreased in the skin barrier function, so there will be increased incidence of perinatal complications, including infections, malnutrition because of the high caloric consumption and enteropathy, and there may be hypernatremic dehydration as well. Later in the life, there will be in skin infections with Staphylococcus aureus, yeast colonization, HPV, leading to viral warts. In the older patients, HPV-associated papillomatous skin lesions in the groin and perineal region, spinal cell carcinoma, and giant condylomata of Bush-Klovenstein.